Hi guys, I'm Kristen and this is Carla.
Hi.
Hi guys, I'm Kristen and this is Carla.
Hi.
Join us as we explore origin stories and fun facts or something.
I was going to dance so hard, but my chair is really creaky, and I'm like, oh, nope. Rein it in, Carla.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is our second part of our Canada series.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Canada Day.
Canada Day.
Our last episode ended on a bit of a wah,
oh, wah, wah. Boy, was it depressing and dark. Downer.
But don't worry, guys. This one will end on a high note with all of our very cool accomplishments that we've done. That we don't know about, we don't acknowledge because
but we know Carla nothing about Canada. Is guessing this time, so maybe it won't be such a high note.
Okay. Question number one. Oh, I'm just like jumping into it. No preamble.
Yeah. Okay. Preamble. It's part two.
Screw you, preamble.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. How did Canada become a country? Like, tell me the origin of Canada.
Okay.
Succinctly.
In 1492, no one came to Canada. Then in 1493...
Still nobody.
A guy named Pizzallo came and he's like, you know what? This is a country. He got here by accident. No, you mean like the Confederation?
I don't care any of it.
Okay.
I tapered in off on this 18... one, so whatever you want to say.
67. Mm-hmm. There was a boat and a bunch of guys went on it and they had a bunch of champagne and they were like, let's make Canada a country. And then they signed the paper and then we became a country.
Accurate. This is all
Thank
true.
You.
I don't even
it's
need to
true.
Tell you my research.
Thanks.
Well done, my friend.
Thanks.
Okay, so I'm going to go back a little bit farther than that.
That's what I genuinely think, you guys. I'm not even kidding.
Well, you had 1867. Something definitely happened then. I don't know if I wrote enough details down
Get
about it.
Get out.
It
is something. I remembered a date.
1867. Yeah, yeah.
But do you remember that champagne thing?
I they don't all, like, remember drunk that on the champagne
boat?
Thing.
Remember Canadian history? They all like were on a boat off of Prince Edward Island or something, and they all just got incredibly drunk off of like crates of champagne. Our professor.
Oh, yes. I don't know what that was for, though. Some kind of something. Champagne riots or something? I don't know. It's the Boston Tea Party, but with champagne instead. We're living it up in Canada. Okay. Now we need to get serious because there's nothing more serious than Canadian history.
Right?
More serious and boring than Canadian history.
God. God help us all.
Okay, the first inhabitants of North America are
You're going that far back?
You betcha, baby.
Oh, they're, my God.
It's, like, brief, and I thought it was cool, so I included it.
No, I love it. I love it.
So they're generally hypothesized to have migrated from Siberia by way of the Bering Land Bridge, and they arrived at least 14,000 years ago. Yeah.
Beringia, I think? Nice. 14? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was 11.
I thought it was 13,500 years ago. Okay. That's crazy. My mind is blown. Okay. It's believed that the first European to explore the east coast of Canada was the Norse explorer Leif Erikson. In 1000 AD, the Norse built a small encampment on the northern tip of Newfoundland. But it, what's that face for?
My foot was asleep. Oh. Sorry. And I have to make creaky noises. Wait. Leif Erikson? That's that Interpol song.
It's the Interpol song. I know. And so they built a little encampment, but it only lasted for a few years. So it's not really considered like the first proper settlement.
Oh.
So no further European exploration happened until 1497.
I was so close.
When the Italian explorer John Cabot.
No!
Cabo, whatever.
I said Pizzaiolo. Italian.
Yeah. You're so proud of yourself just now. Okay, so the Italian explorer, but he didn't do it on behalf of Italy. He explored and claimed Canada's Atlantic coast in the name of King Henry VII of England.
Oh.
So he was just like...
John Cabot?
Yeah, he was just like farming himself Italian? Out. Yeah, apparently. Okay. I don't know. In 1534, the French explorer, as you talked about in your episode, Jacques Cartier, Jacques, explored the Gulf of St. Lawrence and took possession of the territory of New France in the name of King Francis I.
Ooh.
So we've got the British and we've got the French, and they're here.
Mm.
For the rest of the 1500s, there were a variety of different European seasonal temporary settlements along the Atlantic coast for whaling and fishing and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they, like, that whole time, they were only ever temporary. Nobody, like, permanently settled.
Okay.
At that point, yeah.
Canada. It's the village down there.
Just wait for my next question. In 1605, the French explorer... Why can't I say that word? Samuel de Champlain established the first permanent year-round European settlement at Port Royal in Nova Scotia.
Oh,
and in 1608, he established the settlement at Quebec City.
Oh.
So those were the earliest permanent settlements.
That's good to know.
I never learned any of that, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
The English established settlements in Newfoundland in 1610 and some settlements down in the 13 colonies to the south. Right.
Okay.
So between 1689 and 1763, there were a series of four wars in colonial North America, a bunch of stuff. Canada and most of New France came under British rule in 1763 after the Seven Years' War. Mm. So that's when Britain became like... I won. I don't know why they have a French accent. That wasn't even a French accent. The worst of accents. Okay, so after the American War of Independence, there were a lot of loyalists who migrated up to Canada. So the loyalists were the ones who loved British people. Mm-hmm. They were like all on board with Britain ruling everything. So many of them moved to the Maritimes, and they really changed the demographic of the areas there. And as part of, like, this reorganization of loyalist settlements in the Maritimes, Canada's first city was incorporated as St. John, New Brunswick. Was our very first official city.
And if we do a callback to the ice hockey episode, they all start bringing ice hockey in or something?
Probably. I don't remember my research. The Mi'kmaq?
Sure.
To accommodate the influx of English-speaking loyalists, in 1791, the province of Canada was divided into French-speaking Lower Canada and English-speaking Upper Canada.
Oh, yeah!
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
And then my next point is just this short sentence. A bunch of other shifting happened. Like, a bunch of other, like, people shifting from one area to another. Like, some down good into enough. The state, some areas, whatever. They're all, like, jumbling around and figuring out where everything is.
Canadian historians are like, why did you skip over the good stuff? And we're like...
Yeah, we're like, ooh.
No, thanks.
In 1867, the British North America Act officially proclaimed Canadian... Confederation.
Confederation, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Initially, there were four provinces included in this confederation, which was Ontario, Quebec, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick.
That's exactly what I was trying to remember. Perfect.
Yeah. And okay. Then eventually, in 1982, Canada became completely independent from Britain and had their own, we have our own constitution and everything like that was signed at that point.
1982?
Yeah.
That's when I was.
I mean,
born.
I know. We were like our own, like we were our own, like dominion or whatever. We were our own thing underneath. So yeah. We had our own laws and stuff like that. But we were still technically under the British umbrella. And then
dang.
In 1982, we had our own constitution. I mean, we still have the queen on all of our money and stuff. But
great.
Yeah. That's so awesome. That was a very brief overview. There was so much more. And as I started trailing off as I was like writing it. I'm like, this is so boring. Yeah. Okay. Next question, smarty pants. Where does the name Canada come from?
The village over there. It's the Heritage Minutes commercial. The guy, he's like, walking along in his like British duds. And this one guy, trader, I guess, he understands. And they meet indigenous guy, and he's like, Canada or something like that, yep. Right? And then the guy's like, that's what this country, like, that's the name of the country? Does he say that?
Yeah.
Or the land?
I think so.
And the guy's like, no, I think it means the village down there, those houses, or whatever.
Yeah, that was almost word for word, and his tone and everything.
I know.
Okay, so
you guys, I know these Heritage Minutes, like, pretty darn well.
So those of you not
normal.
I quote one line.
Molly Johnson,
okay, so
sir.
For those of you, oh my gosh, for those of you who are not Canadian grow up with, like, I mean, because you can be Canadian and not have seen any of this stuff too.
That's true.
So like back in the day on TV, they would have these like commercials that were, you know, they seem to be a little bit longer. They tell it a little story, but they were the Canadian Heritage Minutes. Mm-hmm. And so they'd tell, like, a whole story of, like, some cool invention or something that happened, like, in the history of Canada.
Yeah, it was the Canadian government, like,
yeah,
releasing these.
Saying, like, hey, guys, learn about us already.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was, like, reenactments, like, historical, like, they did the costumes, they did all the stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how, like, most of us learned, like, a lot of the cool stuff that we knew about Canada. But
exactly.
We have all these little, like, phrases that we know from all these different inventions. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty good. But that's
Winnie the Pooh commercial, Superman.
Winnie the Pooh, yeah, Superman.
The basketball, the peach baskets.
Yeah.
The illiterate guy who, like, he can't sign the thing, so he puts his fist, like, he curls up his fist on the table.
Oh, my Remember gosh, that one? Yes.
The medical
And the
doctor
one with
lady.
The woman at the doctor, yeah.
Yeah. Molly Johnson, the little, like, Molly Irish Johnson. Orphans who have to change their names, and then they're like, we want to keep our Irish names. And the lady's like, sure, okay, what's your name? She's like, Molly Johnson, sir.
And this has been a Heritage Minute. Okay, so you were right. The name Canada likely comes from the Huron Iroquois word Kanata, so Kanata, which means village or settlement.
Yes!
In 1535, two Aboriginal youths told French explorer Jacques Cartier about the route to Kanata. So they were actually referring to the village of Stadacona, which is where present-day Quebec City is. So I guess they were on the ship with him, I guess, from what I gathered in my research. These two Aboriginals, they had gone back to Europe with him, and they were coming back.
Yeah.
And they were on the ship with him, and they pointed out, like, that they wanted him to go down the St. Lawrence river or whatever.
Yeah.
To get to where they needed to go. And so they just pointed that way and said, Kanata, like the way to the village is that way.
Yeah.
And so he understood it as like, that's what this whole area is called. So for lack of a better word, Cartier used the word Canada to describe not only the village, but the entire area controlled by its chief.
Nice.
So the name then ended up being applied to a much larger area. Maps in 1547 designated everything north of the St. Lawrence River as Canada.
Oh.
Soon explorers and fur traders opened up territory to the west and south, and the area known as Canada grew. In the early 1700s, the name referred to all French lands in what is now the American Midwest, and all lands going as far south as present-day Louisiana.
Whoa!
Was all referred to as Canada. Isn't that crazy?
What?
We never learned that in school.
Never.
Dang. The first use of Canada as an official name came in 1791 when the province of Quebec was divided into the colonies of Upper Canada and Lower Canada.
Oh.
In 1841, the two colonies were united under one name, the Province of Canada. So it sounds like they were divided and then united again. Whatever, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Leading up to Confederation, there were a number of other names suggested for the country that is now known as Canada. And do you want to guess some of those names, or do you want me just to tell you?
Just tell me. I'm too excited.
They're really terrible. Okay, Albert's Land. So that was after Queen Victoria's husband, late husband Albert.
Okay.
Which is probably what Alberta is named after, right? Albionora?
Nope.
Borealia?
Nope.
Nope. Britannia? I feel like that's not very...
Double nope.
Cabotia or Cabotia, like Cabot with IA at the end.
Oh, no.
Colonia.
Oh, that would have been so good.
And then this one, Efisga. So it's E-F-I-S-G-A. It's a combination of the first letters of England, France, Ireland, Scotland, Germany, and Aboriginal lands. Which I actually feel like would be, like, a pretty democratic name. It sounds terrible, but it's interesting. Hochelaga?
What?
H-O-C-H-E-L-A-G-A. Hochelaga? Hochelaga? Okay. I don't know. Terrible. Norland?
Nope.
This one's great. Superior. Can you imagine if our country was called Superior?
Oh my god.
Transatlantia.
I can't.
And Tuponia, so like, or Tuponia, T-U-P-O-N-I-A, which it stands for the United Provinces of North America.
You know, it's like growing on me, Tuponia.
I know.
And then representing the country of Tuponia. Yeah, it works.
Yeah, it kind of works, actually.
Oh, Tuponia. Yeah. Oh, my God, it's exactly right. Okay.
Our home and native land. And then Victoria Land was the last one.
What? No.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? Those made me laugh so hard.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, thank goodness they landed on Canada, because that's crazy.
Superior would have been funny.
And then on July 1st, 1867, the provinces of Canada, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick became one dominion under the name of Canada.
Nice.
So that's when they got under the name.
Yay!
Yay! Okay, smarty pants. Why is there a maple leaf on the flag? Or, like, how did our flag come to be?
I don't know this one. Okay. After the Confederation, they're like, we need a flag. So they had a contest, and some lady was like, no, that's American. it has to do with the maple syrup thing. And there must have been some kind of maple syrup trade already happening. And they're like, this is what we are. That's all I have.
It started so strong. It's all wrong, but I appreciate the effort.
I couldn't come up with anything. I couldn't even come up with a fake story. It's so the flag is so stupid. I'm sorry.
I like it.
I hate it. We've had this argument before, I think, on the podcast.
It's probably the worst. In the flags episode.
Yes.
Okay. In 1964, Prime Minister Lester B. Pearson
1964? Formed a committee.
1964. Because remember, they were still just a dominion under the British rule. Oh, so they used the Union Jack for a long time. Right?
Yeah.
So they formed a committee, the Prime Minister formed a committee to resolve the ongoing issue of the lack of an official Canadian flag.
Okay.
There was a massive debate and, like, a big deal. It was a big deal.
We learned because about this,
a lot of people thought that we shouldn't be replacing the Union Jack as the flag, right?
Yeah.
So the person who created the maple leaf flag design was named George Stanley. He's not the Stanley Cup Stanley. I looked it up. I was like, that'd be so cool.
That would be cool.
But he was, like, he actually went to the U of A, got a bachelor's degree at the U of A, which is where we got our bachelor's degrees at. And he's, like, this historian and, like, he's, like, this big, very well-respected guy in Canada, I guess. He based the general style of the flag on the flag of the Royal Military College of Canada, which also has like the two red strips on the side with a white space in the middle. But on the military college middle, it's like some other stupid picture, not the maple leaf. So he argued that it was really important to make sure that the new flag didn't have any symbols that were already connected to a specific racial or political group. So he didn't want to include the Union Jack or fleur-de-lis or anything like that in it, because he thought it was supposed to unify all of Canada, not point to specific things. So some of the other designs that, like, were, because they had a competition and they had, like, it was down
to three competition.
What?
There was a competition. That got right.
So there, it was down to three of them, and I think the other two had some of these symbols in them. So like they were trying to like just combine everything into it, and he just wanted to have like it be a whole
hideous hodgepodge. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Basically. So the maple leaf had been used as an emblem in Canada since the 18th century. It first appeared as a symbol in 1868 when it was used in the coat of arms for both Ontario and Quebec.
Oh.
From 1867 until 1901, the maple leaf appeared on all Canadian coins. And now it just only appears on the penny. Well,
what?
We don't have the penny anymore.
Why did we latch onto the maple leaf?
I don't know. Because we like it? I think, here's the thing, because I couldn't really find out.
Oh, and the Toronto maple leafs?
Yeah, so I think it's because it's something that existed there, that like it's in Quebec, like there's tons of like maple trees and whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's something that grew in Britain. Like if you think about the stuff that stands out that's different, and you come there and in the fall and whatever, like the maple leaves, like the trees turn all amazing colors. Like it's something that would really stand out as being like, unique to our area.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
That's my thought.
Okay.
So, and we all know I'm always right, so it's fine. Fun fact, in 1867, Alexander Meir composed the patriotic song called The Maple Leaf Forever, which became the unofficial anthem in English-speaking Canada.
Oh my gosh.
It was kind of like the national anthem until we actually had a national anthem.
Aw. We should go back to that one.
Yeah, although it's like it's very British. It's very like, thanks, Britain, for being so great and giving us everything. And then they're like, maple leaf, maple leaf, maple leaf. I actually looked up the lyrics hoping that they'd be really funny, like that I could share them, but they were pretty boring and it was pretty like British heavy. Oh. So I was like, oh,
that's
no good. Yeah. Okay, now to the really fun, my last question. I feel like this has been really short. Okay, I've got a lot of stuff in here, though, and it's fun. Oh, no, it's not my last question. It's my second last one.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to talk about some of the coolest things that Canadians have invented.
Nice.
Can you name any of them, huh?
Okay, basketball, Superman, Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Penicillin?
Nope.
Oh.
Oh, maybe penicillin, actually. I don't know.
I thought that was a heritage minute.
Insulin.
But... Oh, insulin.
Oh, yeah, penicillin, too, though.
I don't know. Yeah, the Bernard guy? I don't know. Whatever his name is.
I don't know.
The Canada arm?
Yeah.
And, potentially ice hockey, but I think we've decided no. And that's all I can think of.
That's good. You got a lot of them. Most of them, obviously, the Canadian heritage minutes, but I'll take it.
Thanks.
Okay, so we invented the pacemaker.
What?
For people's hearts. Basketball, nice. Like you mentioned. Basketball wasn't actually, it was a Canadian guy who invented it, but he actually was living in the States at the time he invented it. But it counts, so too bad.
I think so.
Insulin. This one's cool. The Java programming language.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay, so some of these I have little write-ups about because they were just really interesting.
Yeah.
So the Java programming language was first developed in California in the early 1990s by James Gosling, an Alberta-born computer scientist. Gosling is considered the father of Java, but did work on the language with his Sun Microsystems colleagues, Mike Sheridan and Patrick Naughton. Mm-hmm. Java 1.0 was released by the company in 1995. According to Oracle, which bought Sun Microsystems, Java was meant to be used with an interactive handheld home entertainment controller that was originally targeted at the digital cable television industry, which is hilarious. That was too advanced at the time, but the technology did get incorporated into Netscape Navigator, at the time a dominant web browser.
Oh my gosh, Netscape! You guys, yeah. I've used Netscape.
Oh my gosh, I know. Java remains one of the top programming languages in use still today.
Oh, I thought it was getting all like weirdly obsolete or something. Were people moving away
from it? No, I thought that too, but it actually is still a thing.
Okay.
Okay, other invention, the electric wheelchair.
No. Yeah. Why does that surprise me? What's all this medical device stuff?
Hmm? It's crazy, the stuff that we've done. These next couple are like bananas. I love it.
Ooh.
Okay, so the next invention is wireless radio transmission. Canadian Reginald Aubrey Fessenden was a prolific inventor in the area of wireless technology. He was the first to broadcast on the AM radio band in 1900. Although he's often regarded as an unsung hero in Canada because his inventions in radio technology were outshined by Italian inventor Marconi.
Right!
Yeah.
Oh,
Fessenden built two-way radio transmission towers, one near Boston and the other in Scotland, and issued the first transatlantic radio broadcast in 1906.
Oh my gosh.
He is also known for inventing sonar, so underwater communications and depth sounding. Additionally, he held hundreds of patents, including for pagers, television and x-ray machine, tea infusers, solar and wind power storage, turbo electric drive for ships, motorized toothbrushes, and incandescent lamps.
Oh my gosh.
He died in 1932. His tombstone included Egyptian hieroglyphics that translate to, quote, "I was yesterday, but I saw tomorrow." Aww. Isn't that cool? That's crazy.
I like how back then, like, it seems he was a prolific inventor or whatever, but like, back then, there were so many things that could be invented.
I know. Right? Like,
so it's almost like,
I don't know what inventors now are doing. Like, what's left?
But like, right?
I mean, a holodeck we've established.
Like, now if somebody invents something, totally, you know, it's mind-blowing. Because you're like, oh, what? How did we not think of that? But back then, nobody thought of anything, so...
Back then, it's like the world was your oyster. Easy. You could just create anything. Yeah. It's like, oh, you want an x-ray machine? I also want a tea infuser. Cool, let's do both.
Yeah. Also, the like, it was so like international. Like people, they like had to move to these like centers of intellectual whatever or like financial centers. But it took them all over the world, not like... Right? Like, I feel like people are more stuck now a little bit.
That's
true. People travel, but it just doesn't feel as like, you know.
I remember what my dad said to me, like, he was kind of at the forefront of some of the, like, early internet stuff. Mm-hmm. And he kept always, like, I think he developed, like, the first online shopping mall or something. I don't know. I don't really know what to totally believe that he did or not. But I know he did work on some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I remember we used to argue all the time because he was like, he's like, with the internet, you won't have to travel anymore because you can just, if you want to see a place, you can just pull up a picture of it and see it. And I would get so mad at him because I'm like, that's not the same thing. And he'd be like, but you won't have, you'll have access to everything. And I was like, I don't know, we had always had these discussions.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And I'm like, I get it. I get the positive side, but I do think in so many ways it keeps people where they are because you do have access to so like quote unquote access to everything.
Yeah.
You know, in a way where it's like, okay, well you can just sit here then. And
although nowadays since like airplane emissions and like, you know, people trampling all these natural beautiful places, it's kind of like maybe we should keep some people at home. And the people who know how to respect a place should go travel.
But I think like more even than the traveling thing, it's just like how you were saying, where you're not necessarily like these they're not necessarily going to travel and go and work on something, on an invention,
right?
In a specific place because they have to. Like, now you can just work on it wherever you want to a degree, right?
You can. But then I always wonder about how closed off we might be from, like, how scientists and, like, medical people, like, how they might be closed off from each other. Because back then it sounded like, oh, are you into medical stuff? Okay, go train with blah, blah, blah in Boston or in England, right? And then everybody would kind of, they would know each other and they'd share. Yeah. Right? See, well, yeah. Maybe not, but anyway, sorry.
Okay, this next one is kind of related, but also equally cool. Okay, the pager, the walkie-talkie, CB radio, and cordless phone. The pager was invented by Alfred J. Gross, a Toronto-based wireless communications pioneer in 1949. The pager in 1949.
I can't
like, even what's imagine. His face apparently had a patent for pagers, the guy that I talked about before, that Fessender. But this guy actually made it. Gross is often credited as the inventor of the walkie-talkie, a distinction he sometimes shares with fellow Canadian Donald Hinges, who is also credited for having created the two-way radio in 1939.
Oh my God.
Gross also invented the CB radio and the cordless phone. Before he died, he was quoted as saying, quote, "I was born 35 years too soon. If I still had the patents on my inventions, Bill Gates would have to stand aside for me."
Oh!
So now we have two guys who were, like, geniuses that were around before their times. Like, you could tell they were, like, inventing stuff that the world wasn't totally ready for yet.
Oh, that's still happening.
Yeah.
You'll see those, like, you know, kids, they make these, like, robotic things or whatever, and then they always end these, like, little YouTube videos or whatever with, like, but this technology is still, like, you know, not quite feasible or not, like, we're still far from, right? Yeah. And it's like, no! Implement
but
stuff
But, I mean,
now.
It's necessary, right? Because then later people will take what they've done and build on it. But
exactly.
That must be so frustrating, though, as an inventor the time. newsprint and pulped wood paper was invented by Charles Fennerty in 1838 in Canada.
I know. Really?
Which is surprising to me, and who knows if that's accurate, but I'm going to take it. The garbage bag. The garbage bag was invented by Harry Wasilik and Larry Hansen in Winnipeg in 1950.
You know what, Winnipeg?
They're innovative.
On it.
Yep.
Also, the green... I love garbage bags.
I know.
I don't know why. Just do.
The green polyethylene garbage bag they invented was bought by Union Carbide, who sold the bags under the name Glad.
Get out!
Around the same time, a third Canadian in Toronto named Frank Plomp invented a similar product and is often credited as a co-inventor. But still,
you guys,
both Canadians.
Okay, so Winnipeg had the 911 thing.
Yep.
Harlequin romance
novels. Oh,
yeah. And the garbage bag.
I know. They were
somehow
on it.
Those are all connected. I could make a story out of that.
Oh my gosh, that's what we should do. Try to connect all of our different topics in, like, a story.
Oh my God. Our heads explode.
This one is great.
They're all great.
Road lines.
What?
The first road lines in the world were painted on a stretch of highway between Ontario and Quebec in 1930.
Get out! What?
Having been invented by Ontario Department of Transport engineer John D. Miller.
John D. Miller. Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
That
in 1930,
is insane.
That's kind of late. In my mind, but maybe
kind
not.
Of. But remember your thing about traffic lanes? How, like,
that's true. Mm. They were still figuring everything out.
Yeah, people were driving.
I love that, though. In the whole world, that's crazy.
That's totally some tiny little island village had it. Really?
Yeah, Fiji.
Shaky. Yeah.
They're gonna have a lawsuit against us. That's why the one guy's listening in Fiji. He's like, oh, I'm bringing them down for defamation or something. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, the first internet search engine
What?
The first internet search engine called Archie, so archive without the V, was created by Alan Emtaj at McGill University around 1988.
No way!
Tired of performing the same task manually each day, Emtaj wrote a set of scripts to search through FTP archives on a nightly basis. Eventually, it caught on to other early university internet users and was made available for public use in 1990.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy?
I thought, like, Ask Jeeves would be the first one or something, but, like,
that's amazing.
Ask Jeeves was, like, the most useless thing on the planet. I know. As you might as well ask Yahoo question answers or whatever that was. It was the worst.
It was like Bing back in the day. I have to use Bing now, like, on my PC.
Why?
And because I don't feel like messing it up with Chrome, because Chrome keeps doing the thing of, like, make me your default. I'm like, shove off. And it's actually really good. It's improved.
Oh, yeah?
It's improved so much. In the old days, I couldn't even stand it. I wanted to burn it.
It was awful.
Yeah, so I got all the other ones, right? But, like, I'm like, I'm going to give it a try. And it's actually good.
Oh, okay. I know. Interesting. Okay, last invention. I mean, there were so many other ones, but, like, it's insane, the stuff that we've invented. It's really crazy, which I think we've already kind of discovered throughout all of our other topics.
Yeah.
Right? The egg carton.
What?
Was invented by Joseph Coyle of Smithers, B.C. in 1911.
Get out!
I know.
The egg carton. Guys! I'm going to die.
Okay, now I have my very last one is just some, like, little fun facts about Canadian food.
Okay.
Can you tell me any foods that have been invented or are specific to Canada?
Maple syrup. Wait, no, that might have been in Vermont, I'm guessing. But I'm going to say maple syrup.
Maple syrup, yeah. I don't
poutine.
Have it on the list, but yeah.
Which, for anyone who doesn't know, it's French fries smothered in gravy and you put cheese curd on top.
Oh, it's so good. People always think it sounds so terrible. And I'm like, it's the best thing that has ever been invented.
Every human in the world knows how good potatoes and gravy taste. So why would French fries be?
Why would
just
you
add
not
some cheese on top?
Cheese.
I think the word cheese curd kind of throws them off. I'm like, it's just cheese, you guys. It tastes like mozzarella,
it's just
whatever.
Yeah. So good.
Pizza. I'm kidding. Hot dogs.
Kind of pizza. Hot dogs?
Really? Yeah, I'm going to say hot dogs.
No.
And wait, what am I answering? Oh, I was trying to guess, like, things we invented and that might surprise us.
Well, foods that we invented, but also foods that are specific
to
just Canada,
specifically.
Which is what we invented.
There was that, like, thing. Oh, my nephew did a whole thing about, like, New Brunswick food. And it turns out, like, it's, like, this Polish thing, like, that we make. It's called bleem. It's, like, potatoes that are roasted, but the New Brunswick people do it. Or Nova Scotia?
Oh, really?
Something. Yeah, I almost flipped. I'm like, you make bleem, but it's called something else. Crab cakes?
No. Mm.
The hell do Canadians eat? Beaver tails?
There's a couple of desserts.
Donuts?
No.
I don't know. You guys, I know nothing.
There's a couple of chocolate bars.
Oh! Lay's potato chips? Arrow Kit Kat? Snickers? Smarties? I don't know.
Oh, Smarties. Smarties weren't on the list, but I think
they're UK.
I don't think they're Canadian, but I think they don't have them in the States.
Yeah. Oh, ketchup chips, but they don't have them in the States.
Right. Ketchup chips, I think, are us.
Dill pickle, I think they don't have them either.
Dill pickle. Mm-hmm.
I honestly can't. Fudge.
No,
Rocky
I think
Road
you're
ice cream.
Good.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's Canadian. I don't.
Okay. So the first
one you guys
one
were
on my
so
list.
Multicultural. All I'm thinking is, like... Multicultural foods, right?
The first one on my list is peanut butter.
Get out! No.
So,
why us?
Although, it says, although popular culture would have some believe otherwise, peanut butter wasn't invented by an American botanist named George Washington Carver. Rather, it was created in 1884 by Canadian pharmacist Marcellus Gilmore Edson, who likened the consistency of his product to that of butter, lard, or ointment.
Tasty.
Yeah, give me some peanut ointment. Okay, and the two desserts that I was referencing are butter tarts and Nanaimo bars.
Oh!
Which I never knew were specifically Canadian until, like, maybe 5 years ago or something.
Yeah. Me neither.
They're both so delicious.
I want to like Nanaimo bars. They're too sweet.
I love Nanaimo bars.
But they're so sweet. It's like that cloying, like, where your tongue
they're
almost falls off sweetness.
Good. Same with butter tarts. Sweet. Oh, I love butter tarts.
They're so sweet.
They're so good, you guys. If you're ever in Canada, you have to try butter tarts and you have to try Nanaimo bars. They're so
really
good.
Sweet. And the Canadian fudge is too sweet. I just can't. It's like we have very sweet taste buds here and I can't handle it. Because as a European person, I'm like hardcore, like sour cherry on like unsweetened cheesecake. It's like, right?
Yeah, you're nuts. Okay, anybody visiting Canada, eat butter tarts and Nanaimo bars. You will be pleasantly surprised.
You will think they're too sweet.
Only if you're Carla. Okay, so poutine we already talked about. Amazing. Yeah. The two chocolate bars I was referencing are Crispy Crunch and Coffee Crisp.
Nobody likes Coffee Crisp, but I love it.
I love Coffee Crisp. And good. Okay, so my big thing whenever I go traveling is I love trying all their different chocolate bars. I love going to the grocery store to see what else they have, like chip flavors. You have to try all the things because they are different from every place that you go. So, of course, when I was in South Africa, I was like trying all the different ones there. Yeah. And Greg had a few that he was like insisting that they were super good. And there was one that's kind of wafery, a little bit like a coffee crisp. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, no, we've got one that's like so much better than this. But he was like super insisting that, no, this is the best. So for a while, when he first came to Canada, I was like, he had it so in his mind that the South African ones were so much better. So I was like, okay, well, try this. Like, this is similar to it, but it's a bit better. And like, he was kind of, I think he was just reluctant to like get on board with it. But then, like maybe a year and a half ago, he finally tried a Coffee Crisp. And he is like obsessed with them. He just, anytime he sees one, he just has to get one.
Like, okay, right? Well, it does that. Like, I feel like they changed the recipe a little bit, or it's just my like taste buds that I can't handle sweetness as much. It feels like it tastes a tiny bit different though. Not just sweetness, but like something about it is tiny, tiny bit different. And like, cause I was obsessed
with coffee.
It feels
like, I think the filling in it is like not as thick as maybe it used to be.
Maybe.
Right? I feel like it used to be a bit softer on the inside somehow or something.
Something about it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. Coffee Crisp.
So good though, you guys. Get a Coffee Crisp. So good. Yeah. Crispy Crunch. Also good.
Did you try the double one? Oh, you did, right? And
no,
it tastes exactly the same.
I gave it to Greg.
Because he saw it. Same as the other one. It's
yeah. Like, what's the difference?
Yeah. No.
This is funny because in my earlier topic, I said that this was made in Hawaii, but it was not. Hawaiian pizza was first created by some guy in Ontario. Yeah.
I knew it was Canadian.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, I had to include that because I was like, oh, foot and mouth.
And I'm going to tell people, I'm sick of hearing people say that pineapple doesn't belong on pizza. That's ridiculous. It is.
Pineapple is so good on pizza, you guys.
Mm. It makes, like, just with that, like, ham and pineapple, honestly. And let's not pretend that old roasts didn't have giant pineapple rings on them. And remember?
Yeah.
The hams or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's probably why it was ham and pineapple. And it's so good. Like,
it's so good.
Because all that matters is, like, salty, sweet, you know, the whole umami, whatever.
And he did it. He created it because he was trying to recreate, like, the salty sweetness of Chinese food, actually.
And okay.
Put it, like, create it on a pizza. I think he was of Greek origin or something.
Have you tried the tropical one? Panago has gone downhill. Their crust is garbage now. But, like, they do a tropical flavor, which is basically just, like, barbecue
chicken
sauce.
On it, I think, right?
They call it tropical sauce, but it tastes like a sweet barbecue sauce.
Oh, okay.
With ham and pineapple, right? It's just like
Ooh.
It's so good.
I had pizza for dinner tonight.
Remember our pizza that we used to make with
yes.
all black olives and pineapple and yep. feta? You guys, it sounds disgusting.
And barbecue sauce delicious. Base. So good. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, the best. I know, I made it maybe like a month ago or something like that because I was like craving it so badly.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get Greg to try it and he doesn't really like pizza to begin with, which is like, I don't know, maybe odd. He's a psychopath? I don't know. But he was like tasting it. He's like, no. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? But it works in my favor because then I don't have to share. And I nice. That's my favorite thing is to not
well, when
have to
did
share
you do
pizza.
With ranch all the time? Oh, like the broccoli kind of one.
Yeah, we or like a green pepper or something with like black olives.
Yeah.
We just put black olives on everything.
Yeah, we do.
Feta.
Oh, man, feta.
okay, and this. Oh, I've got another go ahead. One. Okay, this isn't really a food for adults, but they invented pablum in Canada. So like baby pablum.
I don't pablum. Know what that is.
It's like.
I've heard of it. I know it's a baby thing.
Yeah. It's like to give them nutrients and stuff. It's like a little, like, it's not formula, but it's like a little oatmeal kind of thing, I think.
Oh.
So it was invented in 1930 by three pediatricians at Toronto's Hospital for Sick Children. I'm not going to name their names because I don't care. Along with a nutrition lab technician and a chemist. And they made the cereal to help curb infant malnutrition and rickets. Aww. The original pablum mixed cereal contained, among other ingredients, pre-cooked wheat, bone meal, and reduced iron, and was fortified with several vitamins and minerals.
Smart.
Yeah.
And then that's the sweet.
I know. And the last one that is Canadian is the Caesar cocktail.
Which is, the Caesar!
Yeah. Which is similar to a Bloody Mary in the States, but we use Clamato juice, uh-huh. not tomato juice. And Caesars are way freaking better than Bloody Marys.
Oh, I love Caesars so much.
Yeah.
One person really wanted to try a Caesar, and they had none of the ingredients, but they insisted on it. And I'm like, this isn't going to work, you guys. They had the tomato juice. They had... maybe the vodka. I don't even know what the heck they had for the, like, alcohol. Then they only had pickles. Such I was like, okay, I'll throw pickle juice in. I don't know. I didn't know what to do with the recipe, but it did not taste good.
Oh,
they
no.
didn't have, like, the seasoning. Ugh, no.
You can do pickle juice in it. Some people do that.
Yeah.
It can be good.
Not
but you have to have the other stuff. Like, you have to have Worcestershire sauce. You have to have the hot sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, my secret ingredient, which, I mean, it's not mine. I stole a recipe from my sister who stole it from her ex, but is to put Montreal steak spice.
That's
in.
The key. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then you have to have, like, the Clamato, like, the
rimming. I haven't made it
rimming.
Forever. I got so sick of them because I kept making them.
Oh, my gosh. They're, like, one of my favorite snacks right now because it's all about the garnish you have to put in. I put, like, big snacks. Jumbo olives in and the pickled asparagus.
Yeah.
And pickled beans. Oh, I make a whole like salad out of mine.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's amazing, you guys. Before we wrap this up, I just want to say, everybody, appreciate Canadian wildlife. We're known for the beaver, Canada goose.
Yeah.
The national bird, I think, is the gray jay, possibly.
Really?
I think they changed it now.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Because I think you can find that bird everywhere or something. It's their
Did
argument.
You see there's a video out of a moose chasing a grizzly bear?
As it
In
should.
The water?
Yeah.
Nice. It's crazy.
In the water?
Yeah.
Dang.
It started in the water, or they were in the water, and then they were running on land. And, like, these people, it
Whoa.
Looks like it's, like, at Lake Louise or somewhere similar to that.
Whoa.
I'm like, if you were just standing there and you saw this happening in front of your face, it would be the most unreal thing you'd ever see.
Well, no. It was, like, when we were in that park once, and we saw the deer chasing the coyote away.
Yeah.
It was
so bizarre.
The coolest
thing I've ever seen. Yeah, I'm like, this is going the wrong way around.
Yeah, it's going the wrong way. But it makes sense. Oh. And shocking thing today, so the Canada geese have babies on the lake, and they're a little bit bigger already. And then suddenly I saw the little babies, just they were on the edge of the water. They did that thing, like, where it looks like, you know, in cartoons or something when, like, someone's like nipped in the butt and they kind of do that cute little scurry of like, ah, something bit me in the butt.
Yeah.
So they all scurried out of the water and I'm like, oh, what the heck caught them? Like, and the goose parent came to kind of investigate and I'm like, what? You guys, it was the red-necked grebe, and grebes are those, they look like ducks, but they have very pointy beaks, and they're quite large. You don't see their how big they are because they're like, a lot of their body mass is under the water, right?
Okay.
But he actually, they do this weird creepy thing where they crouch down in the water when they go like chasing each other away. He like went after the chicks to kind of get them the heck out of his area.
Oh my gosh.
Like, really? I thought nothing messed with the Canada goose.
Because the Canada goose is, like, everybody who comes to Canada, like, I have friends who are from Australia and they live back there now, but everybody talks about the bears and how scared of the bears they are. And, I mean, in the neighborhood I live in, we have a lot of bears in our neighborhood, but still, like, even then, I'm not really that worried about them.
Yeah.
But everybody's like, bears, bears, bears with Canada. And I'm like, you need to be more worried about the Canada geese because, like, you can't go up to them. Especially when they've got little babies, like they will chase you, they will hiss, they will like try to bite you. They're insane. Like,
okay, if you just to Google clarify,
videos
though,
of guys on the golf course with geese, it's hilarious to watch.
Well, because people are dumb and they take their guff. Okay, here's a tip for everybody: when you're walking past a goose, right, and they start hissing, you make eye contact with them,
okay,
and you say in a very loud, stern voice, "No," like you challenge them. I'm telling you, you guys, it works every time. I have, like, they all, yes, they back down. They're just kind of like, oh. Because
you're just if it's a face-to-face thing. Gang leader.
It's like, because people, and they don't believe me. I'm like, you guys, just, like, it works. Because, like, it's giving me guff, and I'm like, no. And it's just like, it might be just surprised.
We go down to the lake, and Carla's in, like, a leather jacket, and she's got all her goose, like, cronies following behind her. She's got a whole gang of them. She sticks them on other people.
Oh, my gosh. Well, like, they don't know what to do with you then, because it's like you're just standing there giving it guff, and it's like, you know, because they're not in that advantage. You're screwed when they come after you, like, if they do the, like, surprise attack.
Yeah, like, then you're full-on screwed. Coming after you. I think it's a lot of it, too, is, like, people who, like, the unsuspecting people who think, like, oh, it's a goose. And then it's just hilarious to watch them get chased
it
and,
is
like,
hilarious.
Run for their
and
lives. It's so funny.
And they do hiss. And it's just the thing of, like, looking at body language, right? Like, don't go up to moose. Oh, you know what? I'm scared of raccoons.
Oh, yeah.
In case they have rabies. That's what I'm terrified. And bats.
I love
bats. I love raccoons. Yeah. They're so sweet and cute. I love watching them. And same with bats. I think they're the sweetest things in the world. But I'm so scared, irrationally scared of rabies.
I know, right? Like,
yeah. Same with coyote. I'm like,
my old
I love you, but
neighborhood was so great because it was like very much in the city. And like there was a back alley right behind that I looked out onto. And I just would always watch the raccoons. And my favorite thing one day, I think I've got like a picture on Instagram still of it, was this whole family of raccoons that was like trying, like climbing down, like they were walking along the fence and like climbing down and like trying to get over, and they wait for each other on the other side.
Oh,
it was like
gosh.
The cutest thing I ever saw.
I don't think we have raccoons here. We have some in Alberta in certain pockets, but it's not,
but
like,
it's like not at all like out here.
No. Yeah. Skunks we have, which I didn't know. I thought that was another BC thing.
Yeah.
You guys have rats, and I don't think we do.
No. Alberta's rat-free, apparently, somehow. I don't know.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to finish by just doing a little shout-out to all the cute little critters and everything, and to everyone, respect nature, and don't be dicks about things.
And go eat in a Nanaimo bar or something.
It's too sweet. Or poutine. There you go.
Do it. Poutine. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for listening, guys. Remember to like, subscribe, and review. You can follow us on Instagram. We are at podcast.or.something. Or write to us at podcast.or.something@gmail.com. It would be super cool if you guys have any fun facts about Canada. If you want to send them our way, it'd be fun. We'll share them on the next episode. And yeah, we'll talk to you later or something. Bye.
Bye.